Glenn Beck.
Michigan Attorney General candidate Dana Nessel wants you to know something. I'm not making this up. She thinks it's important for you to know that she does not have a penis.
If the last few weeks has taught us anything, it's that we need more women in positions of power, not less. So, when you're choosing Michigan's next Attorney General, ask yourself this. Who can you trust most not to show you their penis in a professional setting? Is it the candidate who doesn't have a penis? I'd say so.
Okay, I'm hoping that she's joking here. I mean, she does have a point. You know, it's not possible for her to do the things that the Weinsteins and Conyers of the world have allegedly done. And that's a promise that she can absolutely keep to her constituents. But as we saw with the presidential election of 2016, running solely on gender doesn't really work. Plus, isn't this gender specific? I mean, it's a little unfair and sexist to imply that there is a risk of a potted plant or a bathroom incident if a man holds position of power simply because he's a man. All of the allegations about sexual misconduct are throwing a much needed light on the fact that our societal ideas about manhood have been completely decimated. We have to remember, real men don't do this kind of crap. They don't. They don't get their confidence or their ego for asking women to look or touch their junk. Real men elevate their coworkers, their acquaintances, regardless of gender, to their best self. And you know what? Can I tell you something else? I think, I know this sounds sexist, but I think real men actually stand up to dirtbag men like that and protect women and other men or anyone else who might be in the line of fire of that potted plant. It might not seem like right now, but with 2 months of nonstop allegations coming out every day, it doesn't seem like it. But there are good men out there who don't keep bags of sex toys in their office closet. Those men do exist, right? They are the majority, right?
It's Friday, December 1st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to bring in a woman who I really admire, and I'd admire her even if she were a man. I just think she is one of the bravest people that I have met, and forthright, and has just a good head on her shoulders and can think clearly. Carly Fiorina, who of course ran for president of the United States, and I hope she does again. Welcome to the program, Carly. Carly.
So good to be with you, Glenn. It's good to be talking to you again, my friend. It's been too long.
It has been. So, Carly, I read your post in Medium, and I thought it was really, really good. And you talked about how you're tired of the media class opining on this, the politicians and Hollywood and everybody else. You said, a man who demeans, harasses, or abuses a woman has made a choice. It's a personal choice about how to behave. Another man who suspects, who knows, and fears, and looks away is also making a choice. It's now time for a man to choose. Are you going to laugh and look the other way? Are you going to josh that boys will be boys with a wink and a nod and a choice word here or there? Are you going to make it clear that while you love women, you actually don't think that they're capable about whatever you care about most? Are you going to keep quiet when you should speak up? You said that all men know. And I have to tell you, and I might just be the most naive man in the world, and my wife says this to me all the time, I don't think most men are like this.
Oh, they're not. And I also said that in the post. Most men, the vast majority of men, are decent, respectful, honorable, and many, many, many men have lifted women up and helped them. I have been helped by many men in the course of my life. Most men are good men, but enough men aren't. And you know, it's interesting. I was listening to your opening comments, and I agree with everything you said. And the thing that we need to understand about harassment and abuse and disrespect and assault, groping, all these things. It's an abuse of power.
Yeah.
And it's why, by the way, it's why you see now occasions of women abusing their power. You know, we have too many instances of female teachers abusing their power with underage boys, for example. Most of this is about men because men hold most of the power in the world still. But fundamentally, it's about an abuse of power. And if I have to say it, I have to agree with your wife. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that you've never witnessed this, but I'll take you at your word. But it goes on all the time.
You know, I have to tell you this. I worked at a radio station once. I have not, not that I can recall, I have not witnessed this. I worked at a radio station that was run by a woman, and she had hired a whole team of salespeople. And I have witnessed it the other way. I have witnessed that it was kind of a known thing that, you know, you use your beauty, you use your talents, and not in a, you know, not in a, you know, go have sex with people sort of way, but you go use your women wiles and charm the pants off of people, not literally. And so I've seen it that way. I have not seen it the other way, at least institutionalized.
Yeah. Well, look, let's be honest. It helps to be attractive whether you're a man or a woman.
Right.
It helps to be charming whether you're a man or a woman. I find it interesting that when it's a woman, it's about being wily. But when it's a man, it's just about being effective. I'm not sure this is ever institutionalized. I do think it's covered up. And I think sometimes we get so used to, I mean, look, there is no question that whether it was Roger Ailes, Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, if you dig into these stories, what you find out is that everybody knew. They may not have known the particulars, but they knew the generalities.
So here's a good example. Here's a good example. Roger Ailes, it did not surprise me. I didn't know, but it didn't surprise me. Being around Roger Ailes enough, you were like, you know, I can see that.
Yeah, people suspected it. People understood what the culture was. And I'm not saying that the thing that I would say about these allegations is I take them seriously, and frankly, I believe them when you have multiple instances of people coming forward and telling the same story, when you have instances in which people shared what had happened to them contemporaneously, when you have other witnesses around saying, well, yeah, you know, now that it's out, I'm really not surprised. Now, I happen to personally know Harvey Weinstein and knew Roger Ailes, and so neither one of those stories surprised me one little bit. But I do think sometimes we get kind of used to this sort of joking, joshing stuff in a way that indicates something deeper. Let me just give you an example, Glenn, because you and I met while I was running for president, really.
Yeah. Yes.
When I was on a presidential debate stage, now let's bear in mind that I think there are 4 women who have run for president in the United States of America. There aren't very many men who've run for president. And I was on a presidential debate stage, and in the middle of that debate, I was telling the story of how I had come up as a secretary to. In the middle of that debate, a radio show host who's very well known and who shall remain nameless, because my point here is to make an example, tweeted out that I had just played the vagina card. Wow. Wow. Male politicians pay their stories all the time. He got a little bit of pushback. And so he then went on to say, oh, I really like vaginas. Ask my wife. And the silence was deafening. Now, here's a guy who thinks it's okay to reduce me. I think most people agreed. I was pretty qualified and pretty articulate. Here's a guy who thinks it's okay to just reduce me to literally, pardon the directness of my language here, but this is the language he used. He thought it was just okay to reduce me to my genitalia. And apparently most everybody else did also. And so that creates an environment where it's okay to be disrespectful. where it's okay to be disregarding. And I think we need a mindset shift, as I tried to say in that column, men and women, but particularly men, because men still have more authority and power than women, to say, you know what, we need women to fulfill their potential. We need women to be full participants, because we're all better off.
I think, you know, this is one of the things.
Man or woman has that chance.
This is one of the things that has been, you know, crossing my mind for a long time. And that is, we keep trying to say it's my way or the highway, no matter what the difference is. Women, men, Republicans, Democrats, conservative, liberal. We need each other. We need each
That's
other.
Right.
And we're not understanding that. We're not coming together and saying, you put your best stuff on the table, I'll put my best stuff on the table, and let's see what we can do together. That's the way we should be, but we're not headed in that direction.
Well, that's right. And I think that, unfortunately, is a failure of leadership in many cases. You know, what is a leader? A leader is somebody who understands that collaboration is critical. A leader is somebody who understands that character counts. A leader is someone who sees possibilities, particularly in other people. A leader is somebody who believes that every life is filled with potential and that we're all better off when each of us have the opportunity to fulfill our potential. And, you know, I do think that in this nation, sovereignty rests with the citizen. It's one of the unique qualities of our nation. Sovereignty rests with the citizen in this country. And so I think each of us, regardless of our position, and position never defines leadership, an individual defines leadership, regardless of our position, I think each of us as Americans, as citizens, need to lead more. Need to step up and be leaders and quit waiting for somebody else to do it for us, particularly our politicians. Quit waiting for people in positions of power and authority to lead for us, because too often they don't.
In
this regard, we can make a difference in our workplaces and in our lives.
Let me take you one more place. I'm concerned that we are... just everybody. I mean, I used Garrison Keillor here a little while ago as an example of this. If what Garrison Keillor said happened, this is craziness. He said that he just patted a woman on the back. They were friends, blah, blah, blah. She later felt uncomfortable. I mean, that, you know, that's not sexual harassment. If that happened the way he said it did. But we're painting everyone with the same brush. And at the same time we're doing that, and I think in many cases it's a really good thing, at the same time we're doing that, we are not holding the people in Washington, Donald Trump, Roy Moore, Franken, and who's the other one? John Conyers. They're not out immediately. NBC hears something about Matt Lauer. He's out. These guys, they're not out. If they don't get out, if we have credible witnesses and they don't get out, aren't we just going to send a message that you can absolutely do anything, probably up into and including killing someone, and we don't care?
Well, you said a couple things there. First of all, I agree with you that we can overreact and do stupid things. And then, of course, it diminishes the real problems
Correct.
That exist. So, for example, when, you know, the Obama administration overreacted to sexual assault on campus and basically said any woman that accuses a guy is going to be given the benefit of the doubt, even when the case doesn't hold
Warranted.
Water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's had a terrible impact on young men's lives in
yes.
some cases. So, yes, we can overreact. And, yes, I think we are in danger of being willing to live with a double standard. Look, the politicians are so hypocritical here of both parties. They don't have a leg to stand on. If you look at the processes that Congress has put in place, Congress always grants itself an exception.
Yes.
Whether it's living with the healthcare rules they pass or whether it's sexual assault, they always grant themselves an exception. They are hypocrites in both parties. And part of what I believe we as citizens need to hold our politicians accountable for is, are you a person of character? It's one of the reasons people are so sick of politics and politicians. It so rarely has anything to do with leadership or problem solving or collaboration or character.
Carly Fiorina, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Great to talk with you.
All right.
Thanks,
we'll see you again.
Have a great day.
You bet. Bye-bye. Carly Fiorina, businesswoman, wife, mom, grandmother.
And tweet out her story from Medium at World of Stew at Glenn Beck in case you want to read it. She has I think you get there, a balanced take, right? And not all men are evil. Hey, it's nice to hear that. It's also nice to hear that, you know, we're going to hold people accountable for the things that they do. So it's a good side of both of those. By the way, we're having another development in the Flynn story that we're going to need to get to in a moment. But the quick headline, and we'll have some more detail in a couple of moments. But the report is that Flynn's deal here, where he's pleading guilty, he is going to testify that Donald Trump directed him to talk to the Russians.
Oh, my gosh.
So we don't know what the details are on that yet, but it's obviously another big development in the story.
Oh, my gosh. Whew. This is going to be an interesting holiday.
Glenn Beck.
There is huge, huge breaking news now on Mike Flynn. He is prepared to testify. I want you to listen to this report from ABC.
He has promised full cooperation to the Mueller team. He's prepared to testify, we are told by a confidant, against President Trump, against members of the Trump family, and others in the White House. He is prepared to testify that President Trump, as a candidate, Donald Trump, ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians, which contradicts all that Donald Trump has said at this point. As well, we're told that Flynn made the decision to cooperate only in the last 24 hours, that he is distraught about the decision but feels he's doing the right thing for his country, that he was facing huge legal bills of more than $1 million, and that he said that finally he had to go ahead and do this for that reason. He expects to put his house on the market. He is facing serious financial problems.
So wait.
Multiple things there.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
There's a lot to take out of that. Number one, it's a report from a confidant. So we could, at this point, we don't know if he's going to testify against Trump.
Correct.
It's still early enough that this could be completely wrong, right? Number one. Number two, at the end, you see him throwing in there, this is because
of money.
He's saying he's being beat up by legal bills. He has to sell his house. And people, I think, will say he's being forced into this because he can't deal with his world financially. In addition to that, what was not mentioned in the report, that his son was in danger of being charged, and there are rumors that this is, you know, he's giving in for that reason. However,
but why would you also say, I'm doing it because I believe it's right for the country?
Right. I think
it's really a bizarre statement.
Yeah. I think if you're a skeptic of Flynn, and I don't think, you know, we've said we're not fans of Flynn at all.
At all.
We have to see what he has to say. We don't know what his testimony is yet. We don't know what he's going to say. So there's a lot to be judged.
No, he's a bad guy.
But
he's a bad guy.
This is a big development in that this is a very close Trump confidant that has now turned against him, according to this report, if it's accurate. And it is a big turn in this case.
So we have a way for you to solve this and have still a good holiday with your family when we come back.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
He has promised full cooperation to the Mueller team. He's prepared to testify, we are told by a confidant, against President Trump, against members of the Trump family, and others in the White House. He is prepared to testify that President Trump, as a candidate, Donald Trump, ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians, which contradicts all that Donald Trump has said at this point. As well, we're told that Flynn made the decision to cooperate only in the last 24 hours, that he is distraught about the decision but feels he's doing the right thing for his country, that he was facing huge legal bills of more than $1 million, and that he said that finally he had to go ahead and do this for that reason. He expects to put his house on the market. He is facing serious financial problems.
That's an interesting sideline. Okay, so let's have this conversation first. So he's pleaded guilty today. The FBI charged him with lying to the FBI. The White House immediately came out and said, of course, he lied to President to Vice President Trump Pence. That's why we fired him. He's a liar. But what he said, what they charged him with lying about, was the sanctions on Russia. Did you talk to Russia about the sanctions? He said no. You didn't talk about a deal that, you know, you guys would work out. No. That's what he lied to Pence about. And that's what he lied to the FBI about. The FBI now has proof that he did do that. So he says, okay, I'll plead guilty on this. But now the story is, an hour after he pleads guilty, now the story is, he's not only pleading guilty, he's going to turn evidence over and testify against Donald Trump, his children, and the campaign for ordering him to talk to the Russians about the sanctions. Now, this fits, if you look at a timeline, this fits with how, remember, during the GOP convention, how all of a sudden the campaign didn't want to change anything, but they changed the one plank, and it was about Russia. And we all kind of looked at each other and went, what the hell is that all about? So the question is that you have to ask yourself, not whether or not Donald Trump did it or not, because he's already said he hasn't done this. The question you have to ask yourself right now and answer it, does it matter if he did? Does it matter if he told Flynn and others, I need you to talk to them about a deal. I need you to talk to them about the sanctions. They went out and talked to the Russians. And when asked about it, Donald Trump said, no, I never did that. Nobody ever did that. Oh, my gosh, he's just acting on his own. Does it matter if he was in bed with the Russians? The answer for me is clearly yes. You have to be able to trust the president of the United States, and you also do not want the president of the United States doing backroom deals. I mean, we would have gone crazy, crazy. Remember when what's his name said to President Obama, I will tell Vladimir. And all he said was, I need more time. After the election, I can help more.
Yeah, he said that to the Russian
Medvedev. Prime Minister. Yeah. I'll pass on to Vladimir your request. And we went nuts. What are they doing? What are they doing? Is he doing backroom deals with the Russians? So I'm consistent. Yeah, I don't want a president making backroom deals. I want a president to tell us the truth. So does it matter?
I'm a yes on that.
Yeah, I'm going to be a strong yes on that too. Mm-hmm. Why, Pat? I don't. Why you though?
Yeah, I mean, normally I'm on the side of the Russians, but today,
today you're not. Okay. Yeah. So that is the first thing you have to do is, does it matter? To me, it does. Now the next thing is, what is Flynn doing here?
Sounds like he's protecting his butt, right? He's trying to save his financial life.
Yeah,
and maybe they cut some kind of deal with him where you roll over on Trump and we can make this go away for you.
Well, that's clear.
Sure sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's clear.
Well, he still did plead guilty, right?
He's
saving his own butt in exchange for telling them something they want to hear about Trump. It's just is that something true or not?
So the FBI has got to know that. You know, you can't believe a liar.
Mm-hmm.
He's already lied. He lied to the White House. He lied to Pence. Mm-hmm. He lied to the FBI. Why would we take his word now that this is what Trump said to save his own skin? So they would have to know that. He would have had to give them evidence of something else that proves that he's not lying.
Right, because if it was just his word, you would think that probably wouldn't be enough.
No.
Are there emails? I mean, are there phone records? Are there recorded conversations?
Yeah, I mean, it would be ridiculous. It would be ridiculous to believe.
Well, we shouldn't brush it off. This is a high-level campaign and a confidant-level campaign, cabinet confidant of Trump. I mean, the fact that he is going to say things, in theory, if this report is accurate, that are damaging to Trump is not something we should just blow off. It can't just be that. When we were saying Michael Flynn was not a trustworthy, honorable guy that should be appointed to this role,
mm-hmm.
What did people say to us? They said, "Oh, you don't know anything about Trump. Trump knows this guy. You're off base." When Trump dismissed him, we said, "Well, now Trump agrees with us, right? Mm-hmm. Like that mm-hmm. that this guy is not an honorable guy." But Trump had a weird he tried to go halfway with that.
Yeah.
Dismissed him, but then continued to sort of defend him and say he was mm-hmm. a really good guy and everything else. Do now the people who believed Flynn was a good guy, who believed he was a good appointee at the time,
and who believed Donald Trump when he dismissed him but said, "Hey, he's a really good guy,"
do they now turn on Flynn? Like, is now Flynn the bad guy?
Yes, the
entire time.
Because here's my prediction: Flynn will not be the bad guy. Flynn was just sending out a flare, trying to say, "Hey, look, they got me, and there's no way out. I'm just doing this because they've got me. Big state, deep state has me, and so I'm just telling you, but don't believe me." I think that's what they'll say. Look, he said in his statement, "You know, I think I'm doing the right thing for the country, and I am broke. I mean, I got
I'm losing my house.
I'm losing my house.
Looking at another $1 million bucks in attorney's fees."
Yeah.
I don't know how you can let him off the hook with this, though. If he does testify against Trump, that's not going to sit well with Trump supporters. Any kind of criticism of Trump doesn't sit well with Trump supporters.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say,
think they'll turn on Flynn. I really think they'll turn. This shows you shouldn't be putting Democrats in your administration either.
Yeah.
See, just,
oh, that's right.
They're
going to
turn on you.
Any.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We said that at the time. I think I could go through. I could come up with almost exclusively Republicans and maybe some Libertarians that I could put into my cabinet. Don't mm-hmm. think I need to name one Democrat.
You don't need to.
Don't think I need to.
Nope.
And
they certainly don't.
And especially Michael Flynn. He's just a bad guy.
Yes.
Just a bad guy.
Yeah. And a lot of this, too, the other part of this, other than the money and the house and all these things, the pressure was coming against Michael Flynn Jr., who is kind of well known on Twitter for, you know, tweeting kind of InfoWars-esque conspiracy theories. But no one knows exactly what he was doing, as he was part of the transition team and they got rid of him very early as well. So he may have been protecting his son.
The biggest thing you have to do is slow down. Let's not deem what Michael Flynn has to say as detrimental to Trump or, you know, good for Trump. We don't know. This is all speculation. We have no idea what's going to happen mm-hmm. and what the FBI has. What we have to decide right now is, does it matter if he says this and it's credible and they have credible
proof.
Evidence? Does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And if they have credible mm-hmm. evidence, then you're going to have to make a decision because it matters. That's the only thing. Because right now, you know, everybody's going to pick sides on what? We don't have anything. We have nothing more mm-hmm. than we had yesterday other than, yeah, well, they did it. They flipped him.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that mean? I don't know. The one thing that we do have that we can talk about is Kate Steinle. Pat, did you see the verdict in this case in San Francisco?
Unbelievable. Not guilty on every charge.
I couldn't believe
not
it.
Not guilty on every charge.
Well,
I think they got him a jaywalking fine.
Yeah. They got him on.
He didn't cross at the crosswalk when he was trying to escape after he murdered an American citizen.
They got him on illegal
possession of a firearm.
Right. Which he said he just picked up.
He just picked up. He just found it on the pier, and it just happened to be in his way when he was walking down the pier, and then it just happened to go off without him touching it, without touching the trigger anyway. I mean, he claims it just went off. That happens all the time, doesn't it?
How many times does that happen?
Oh, three times to me last week alone.
Guns are known to do that.
I will say this. There's pretty hardcore evidence that it ricocheted.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he wasn't necessarily pointing at her, but you got to go at least manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
Don't you?
Manslaughter.
This guy gets out of... Everything. He's been deported five times, back five times.
He is Mexico's Houdini.
Yeah. Yeah, this is despicable. And it's interesting, though. The most interesting takeaway on this, I think, is the reaction of Kate Steinle's family. Jim Steinle said, there's no room in our hearts. There's just no room in us for anger. We didn't waste any time on that. We're not doing that.
Mm.
We're heartbroken, and there's no room for anger. We're just not. And so they don't hate the guy. They've forgiven him. We could all learn a lot from that, I think. And the brother said, other than that, we blame the city of San Francisco just as much as the shooter because they encourage this and they allow this. And this shouldn't have happened. He shouldn't have been here in order to kill her. Whether it was an accident or not, he shouldn't have been here.
And like a lot of times, these things boil down to, oh well, we have to give immigrants chances, and these things are minor crimes, and crossing the border is not a big deal.
Man,
the Cates Law is a really good answer to this, right? If someone crosses and you send back them, we're just saying don't try it again, right? Like just don't do it. If you do it again, you're gonna get a legitimate punishment. Just don't do it again. We're going to give you essentially, I mean, Cates Law in a way is amnesty. We're letting you come across the border and you know what? We'll just send you back the first time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to charge you. We're not going to put you in jail. We're not going to put you in prison. But if you come back again, come on. We're going to have to do something about it. That is not a hateful thing. We're giving multiple chances.
Yeah.
And even that can't even get a vote from Republicans.
And by the way, it's not even saying we're going to... send back them. I love that quote. We're not even saying that we're going to send you back because you crossed the border. We're going to send you back if you've committed a crime. We're going to send you back.
Mm-hmm.
If you commit a crime, we're going to send you back. We're not going to put you in jail. Just go away. And we're just going to say, oops. I mean, that's amazing. Can you imagine if it was your first time and you go into Tiffany's and you're robbing Tiffany's? And Tiffany's, you know, the police arrive and they come and you're like, okay, I did it.
You got me.
I did it. And they're like, okay, just give us all the stuff.
But
back.
I don't have a lot of money and I'm trying to support my family.
That's
I needed
right.
to steal from you.
Right. And don't, you know what? Don't worry about it. Just don't steal from Tiffany's
don't
again.
Don't do it again.
Can you imagine that?
And then you do it and then they tell you the same thing again.
I know. You know what? We can't even ask if you've been at Tiffany's before.
Pat Gray Unleashed is coming up in just a few moments here on the Blaze Radio and TV network. I hope he will be talking about the cookies he brought in, which each bite contains 3 sticks of butter.
Do not leave me out of the refrigerator because I will melt.
So good. I can't even remember. His wife made cookies and they're freaking amazing. I've gained 25 pounds. I don't even know what you guys were talking about for half of that segment. I was just eating cookies.
I hate this time of year because it's so good. That's right, yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
You Glenn Beck.
Everybody has to go to glennbeck.com today and see the truck of my dreams. We talked to the guy who built it. It's like $300,000. I don't think there's a market for a $300,000 truck.
That's why he said he was going to keep it, right?
Yeah, he's keeping it. Took him 2.5 years to make. Just watch the video. You will drool all day. It's a 1972 Chevy that didn't exist. I mean, he made it up. And it's just a great, I mean, you look at the engine. It is just an amazing thing. So look that up. Also
the Deep State series is up at theblaze.com/TV. You can watch all 4 chalkboards from this week going through what does the deep state actually mean in the United States around the world.
This is actually really important, especially with the Flynn thing, because I think you're going to hear more about deep state in the next few weeks. You know, the deep state got to him. What is the deep state? There's 2 kinds. We have 1 kind, and it can be stopped, but you need to know what it is. You can find it at The Blaze TV.
Glenn Beck.